The opinions expressed on Breaking News Bears are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Breaking News Bears podcast. I'm your host once again, Chris Capone. I'm joined alongside my illustrious co-host, Evan Davis. And Evan, one of the biggest issues of this offseason are the players holding out, mainly Scott Boras clients such as Matt Chapman, Blake Snell. And as players are getting back into game shape in spring training, it feels so weird to have some of the top free agents from this past free agency class not on teams, not playing, not reporting to camp. How are you feeling about the issues surrounding the free agency so far?
I mean, I'm very passionate about this issue. I think it's terrible for baseball. I think what Scott Boras is doing is horrible, but it's not something that is new. Like, he always does this. Boras always holds out because he thinks that teams will then become desperate and then overpay or give the value of a contract that Boras and his client were looking for. And I don't think it's a good look at all. You look at a guy like Blake Snell, as you mentioned, Matt Chapman. Like, Snell apparently was looking for a 9-year, $30 million AAV, 270, and no one offered him that. The Yankees 6 years, 150 is the only reported deal, which I don't think is a terrible deal because let's remember, like, Blake Snell is in his age 31 season, if I'm not mistaken. So pitchers at that age are not gonna, they might not get the total like years that they want, like how he wants 9 years, but they do want the AAV. So maybe there's something there. For Matt Chapman, third base is such a premium position. I'm just surprised no one has said anything, but I think what Boras is doing is horrible, and I think he's handcuffing his clients.
Yeah, it just seems so weird to have that there's five, or there was five, but now there's four free agents remaining, and all seem to have a market for them, but they're just not being signed. You have Matt Chapman, who won the Gold Glove in 2023. And like you said, third base is a premium position. There are teams that are looking for his services, namely like the Giants, the Cubs, the Blue Jays. There are teams with holes at third base that want Matt Chapman. But the asking price from Boras and Matt Chapman is so high that deals aren't being really considered by Boras because they're not close to the what he thinks is right for his client. And if everybody's lowballing you, I think at one point you just got to take whatever the best deal is. And I don't think it's good for baseball having these players that should be on teams. There's no way there's Isaiah Kiner-Falefa should get a job over Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman was reportedly offered early in the offseason by the Blue Jays a $100 million deal. And there's no way Matt Chapman's getting that at this point in the offseason as it currently stands. So one of the things I wanted to ask is, do you personally think, Evan Davis, that the MLB needs to enforce a signing deadline to prevent this kind of extended free agency for players?
I do, but I think it benefits both the players and the team because, you know, we talk about a guy like Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery as well, who just won a World Series with the Texas Rangers and was a huge reason as to why they won. Now they're set back because now they won't be able to really get into a spring training start. They're not going to be able to work out with the teams depending on how long this continues. Right now it's February 29th. The season for two teams starts less than a month, for the rest, a month and change. It sounds like that's a long time, but really it's not. So, you know, free agency obviously starts. I think it's, I mean, you could start having conversations the day after the World Series, if I'm not, is it like the day after the World Series is done? I forget, like I should say it like that. Not, then you could start signing guys at a certain period. I say you gotta cut guys off a week before any team reports to spring training, and if you don't get a contract by then, I say then I think the rule should be that you can't sign until after the All-Star break with a team. I think that might help because this is getting a little ridiculous. Like, I understand players are trying to get their money and everything, but you're telling me that there's like 25, 28 teams out there that don't want Blake Snell, that there's at least 20 teams that don't like that don't want Matt Chapman. Like, there are a lot of teams that need a third baseman and a starting pitcher.
With a signing deadline being added, I like your idea of having it like a week before any team reports to training camp. But I also think that rather than having them limited to sign until after the All-Star break, I think they should only be limited to signing a 1-year deal, like kind of like a qualifying offer and like for other players that aren't free agents. like arbitration kind of deals. I think that's what they should be limited to, a set amount of money, depending on what their previous contract was worth to get for this upcoming season. Only a 1-year deal that they'd all be limited to. Because I think it's just not right having Blake Snell, who won the 2023 Cy Young, not currently on a team, not getting spring training reps, nothing like that, not even on a roster. It's just so odd to see these kinds of high level talented players not on a team because of their agent. Just seeing what Scott Boras is doing, and I know Manfred talked about it, this is terrible for baseball, having these top players just not wanting to sign with anybody because they're being lowballed in the eyes of Scott Boras. Do you personally believe, how much do you believe are the players to blame for this? Telling Scott Boras, this is how much I want to be paid, and I'm not going anywhere lower than this certain threshold.
I don't think it's anything on the players because at the end of the day, Scott Boras is the one negotiating the contract for the players, not the other way around. And there are times where the agent won't reveal, what other teams might have offered. And I don't think Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman are this stupid to realize that, like, look, maybe the number we asked for is a little too high. I think Scott Boras might be a little stubborn in his ways and just saying, I promised you this contract. Like, I'm going to get you this contract.
One of the other ones that free agents that have hasn't really been talked about is JD Martinez hitting 33 home runs last year for the Dodgers, and he was reportedly offered a contract to be the DH for San Francisco, and he said, no, I don't want to go there, for 14, 15 million, I think it was, that the Giants offered him. I don't think JD Martinez is going to get that level of money anywhere else currently as it stands, even though obviously, yes, the talent is there. He's been an all-star the past 3 years, 33 home runs, and I think less than 130 games this past season. He had one offer that was genuinely being considered, because it wouldn't have been leaked if he wasn't considering that amount of money. 15 million, I don't think, is on the table anymore for any team around baseball. And I think he's going to have to take a major pay cut.
When you look at a guy like JD Martinez, he signed with the Dodgers last year, 1 year, 10 million. That was after he hit 16 home runs and I think like 56 RBIs the year before with the Red Sox. Then he comes to the Dodgers and I think it was like in 115 or even I think it was 113 games. I knew there was a three in there. So in 113 games, he had 33 home runs and 103 RBIs. And that was on a $10 million deal. I think it was fair for him. I think it was more he just didn't want to live in San Francisco because let's be real, that city has not been safe for quite some time. There are a lot of businesses leaving there due to issues. It's high violence rate. I don't think that's where you want to take a family. I was shocked when the Arizona Diamondbacks offer signed Jock Peterson because I thought that's where JD Martinez was going. I think it made perfect sense, and it didn't happen. The Diamondbacks went in a different direction. A team that I wouldn't be shocked JD Martinez signed with, and if they signed him, would be the Baltimore Orioles. Given their new ownership group, they now have a willingness to spend, evidenced by the trade with Corbin Burnes, because you're thinking that they're going to sign into a contract extension. I wouldn't be shocked if you got a guy like JD Martinez. You have Adley Rutschman, you have Cedric Mullins, you'll most likely have Jackson Holliday, Gunnar Henderson. You could use a veteran in that locker room that can also hit you 25 home runs. I think JD Martinez to the Orioles makes perfect sense. And I think at 1 year, 15 million, I think a $5 million raise from last year is so warranted given his success.
I mean, yeah, he's obviously worth the $15 million like that the Giants offered him. I just don't know if some teams are willing to add him this late into the offseason.
I think it would matter a little bit more if you're a position player, but the fact that all he has to do is go up there and swing a bat, like he's done that the entire offseason. I think it might have been a little bit more different if he was working the outfield.
Like with players like Montgomery, I just think it's super odd to have somebody who was in the World Series, gave it all for a team to win that World Series, and now he's just, it just seems so odd to see these players that are this talented. Any team could want to add two starting pitchers, especially one that won the Cy Young. I just think seeing players like this just not on teams is just terrible for the game. It's just a bad look for baseball in general.
Yeah, and I don't know if you so like Josh Hader went on the Fair Tier story with Ken Rosenthal, and he was saying how he was in talks with the Texas Rangers on being their new closer because everyone thought Texas was going to beef up the bullpen. LeClerc isn't that great. He got kind of lucky if you look at his advanced analytics stats. He was the closer for the Rangers when they won the World Series. He got kind of lucky. So did Chapman, but now he's on the Pirates. Josh Boers, are you really trusting him consistently? It looks like he just got hot at the right time. But anyway, to make a long story short, the Rangers TV deal is a huge reason why Jordan Montgomery is not on the team. They don't know how lucrative the deal is going to be. And if Scott Boras is saying, hey, you know, Montgomery just won you guys a World Series, he went toe to toe with Justin Verlander in the ALCS, we want a $200 million contract. The Rangers are probably just like, we don't know what it's going to look like in the future. And they already have DeGrom on the books for a ton of money. Simeon and Seager make a ton of money. Just a lot of we don't know. And they don't know if they can afford to go in the luxury tax. And I think that's what's handcuffing them specifically, because it seems like Montgomery wants to go there. It's a matter of if the Rangers just have the financial needs to do so.
Obviously, yeah, because DeGrom and Scherzer being out for, I think they said until the All-Star break, that's just another thing for the Rangers where it's like right now your starting rotation is Nathan Eovaldi,
And Dane Dunning
Dane
and
Dunning.
John Gray.
Yeah, but like it's way worse than it could be than if you were to add Jordan Montgomery. And I haven't heard many rumors around Jordan Montgomery other than just with the Tech or just with the Rangers. I mean, obviously the if the money's there, that if Boras is getting the money he wants for his client. But I feel like every time I see Jordan Montgomery, I just envision him just going back to run it back for 1 year. Mainly like Snell. I just still can't believe Snell is still a free
Yeah.
agent.
I think the thing with Snell and Boras is just the fact that, and Scott Boras is just the fact that, look, Snell led the league in walks last year. An issue that teams might have with Blake Snell is, we both watch baseball. Sometimes when the count gets to 3-1, a pitcher might be, a little bit more conservative. You might throw a fastball, get a strike, see if you can get him to get the batter to undercut something. But with Blake Snell, the count will be 3-1, 3-0, and he's still going to throw like a sweeping curve or a slider. And he almost had a hundred, he was one away from 100 walks last year. And as he gets older, the arm ain't going to get any stronger. So that's another issue, is just the fact that Blake Snell's a guy that is not afraid of the moment, but it can hurt him in that he just walks a ton of batters.
With Snell, obviously the talent is there and he's an incredible pitcher. A lot of the times with Snell, piece that could be your ace. I think multiple teams could look at Snell right now. And if you were to add him to that lineup, he's your ace. He's your number one.
Yeah, maybe he signs, 2 years for 60 million with a player option.
Yeah.
And if it goes well next year, then he opts, or if it goes well next year, he opts out. And if it doesn't, he's got another year at 30 million. You think about contenders, why not like the Kansas City Royals? Like, I just think about them, and it's like that team, that division stinks so bad. It reeks from here. Why not bring in Blake Snell? Like, their rotation, I mean, I am the biggest Cole Reagans fan. That might have been the dumbest trade that the Texas Rangers could have ever have made. I guess it worked out because they won a World Series, but it certainly wasn't because of Aroldis Chapman. Cole Reagans has the potential to be one of the best pitchers in the game. Why not pair him up with Blake Snell? At least just give your rotation something. I mean, offensively, they got some guys, and you just gave Bobby Witt Jr. this long-term deal. Why not even please him more? They could get, I mean, obviously they don't have the money. Like, Blake Snell is reportedly wanting to do a short-term deal with opt-outs. If I'm the Royals, like, that seems right in my ballpark.
Similar to the Cody Bellinger deal where it's a 3-year deal, but with two opt-outs. That's what it's going to end up being for a lot of these Boras clients. I think a lot of these players are going to end up taking deals with player options to try and reset their value of what it currently is. For a player like Snell, it just seems so weird. I know obviously he wants or Boras wants the money for his client.
Well, Boris loves the player options.
When Snell eventually signs, it's definitely going to have like opt-outs after the first couple of years.
And I don't think that's terrible for the team either, because, I mean, knock on wood, pitchers get hurt a lot. And when you're Blake Snell, age 31, if I'm a team, I don't hate an opt out. Like, I mean, obviously it's a player option, so the player has the power. Let's say he has a great first year, opts out, but then gets hurt the next year. Then the team's like, oh, well, we're not on the books. I don't know, because like with the Giants, like, they're such a weird team. Like, I thought that Jung Ho Lee signing was kind of bad. 6 years, 118 million. And I know Yamamoto just got 12 years, 325 million. Jung Ho Lee is a contact hitter. And we don't see contact hitters get that type of money, which is why I'm saying I was surprised. Like, Trey Turner is like the only exception, but Trey Turner can also hit 25 home runs in a season.
And steal like 45 bases.
Yeah. So I don't know what the direction the Giants are going in. If they want to get Chapman, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Chapman got like 3 years, 80 million as well as Bellinger, you know, somewhere in that range. But I've never seen this before in my 15 years, call it, watching baseball, that three of the top seven free agents on the market are still on the market. And I think teams are just protesting against Boris.
Third base is such a premium position. It's the talent disparity from like a Matt Chapman to a Santiago Espinal. I can't watch Espinal play baseball, man. Like it hurts me.
In April, he was one of the best players in baseball. After that, he was so mediocre.
It's really tough to really gauge somebody's market when that inconsistent offensively. Like defensively, Matt Chapman is incredible. And that's why I see with him still on the free agent market, it's just so jarring. Because if you look at Matt Chapman's career's numbers, it's like you're mainly getting him for the defense. He's had years where he hit 36 home runs with the Oakland back in 2019, where he was an all-star. You're going to get mainly in the range of like 15 to 25 home runs every season with like a 230 batting average. But what you're mainly going to be paying for Matt Chapman is playing third base, like actually in the field playing third base. His talent alone at third base, just how good defensively he is. Like he won the Gold Glove last year. I can't believe what Ramon Urias won it in 2022. When you're paying somebody like Matt Chapman, you're mainly paying him to play third base because that's such a difficult position to play. And you don't find players that play that good defensively, which is why I think it's so weird that he's still a free agent. Because I feel like some teams should look at him and say, okay, screw the 240 batting average with that defense is why you would pay a player like that.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I look, Scott Boras has a lot of highly respectable clients. He gets them a lot of money. But then there are cases like this where you're just like, if I'm an owner and, you know, the team president, it's just like, what are we even doing here? Let's be honest for a second. Like 6 years, 150. I had him projected at 5 years, 150. Like I didn't think he was getting more than 30 million a year AAV. Just because when he's not a Cy Young level pitcher, like he's kind of mediocre. Like Blake Snell, when he's hot, he could be one of the best pitchers. But when he's not, it's kind of so-so. And I think, you know, the way that things went for Carlos Rodon the first year, it's probably just the Yankees were like, all right, we'll offer this. And if he takes it, great. If he doesn't, I don't know if we're going to come back.
With that level of variance in his game from year to year, you don't know what you're going to get. When you pay somebody like Gerrit Cole, you know he's your one, and that's why you feel good giving him 300 plus million. Or you pay Yamamoto because you've seen him and you feel like, yeah, he can be worth 300 plus million. Like we believe his stuff will translate. He could be a one. But if your variance in your career so far goes from, I can pitch like a one, but I can also pitch like a three. It's the reason why some teams won't value as highly as you believe or your agent believes you're worth. Like what, 5 years, 150, like what you said, that seems like what he's honestly worth because you don't know what you're getting year in and year out. There's some years like he did lead the league in walks.
I could see the Angels signing him, but like, then what direction are you going in? Blake Snell on a long-term deal is the last thing that Artie Moreno needs. It's bad. It's bad. Like, obviously there are still other free agents out there, but we're more talking about the notable guys that can walk into an organization, walk into a clubhouse, and make an immediate impact. I think even I, if anything, if I'm Blake Snell, like, look at what the Dodgers gave Tyler Glasnow. Like he has. They gave him 4 years, $110 million as the extension. I don't think Blake Snell will get that low, just given it was because of Glasnow's injury history. But even if he gets like 4 years at 120, is it really that bad? Then maybe once you turn 35, you could just start taking a bunch of 1 year flyers, or maybe you take like a 2 year, $30 million deal.
Unless you're a position player, it's more likely to get what those kinds of deals. And that's why I think players like Snell just have to take really what's the best offer available and then just see what happens as a result of that. But anyways, that's going to do it for this episode of the Breaking News Bears podcast. I want to thank once again Evan Davis for his supports along this way. And thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next time.